If you are in the ordination process in the Diocese of El Camino Real, you are required to take a week's training in community organizing. So a few years ago, I spent a week at CDSP in Berkeley taking the training. I wasn't really happy about this because I had to take a week of my precious vacation time to do it. But it was the first time that training was held locally, so I couldn't complain as much as my predecessors. They had to go to Chicago and Arizona for their training. And this is all on our dime, mind you. So I wasn't very happy, but I knew it could have been a whole lot worse. And I know some of you really don't like the term community organizing, so I'm not here to teach you about it. It's just the backdrop for my story, so just hang in there. So I struggled with this training, mainly with their terminology. On the first day, the presenter spoke about power and anger. We were learning that part of community organizing was helping people to exercise their power and anger in order to bring about a positive change in the community. The change could be anything from putting a stop sign up near their school or rent control or whatever it was that they thought their community needed. We were also learning that listening to people was a key aspect of community organizing. So if you don't listen, you don't know what it is they need. I had thought power and anger in real negative terms. It was something that people did to others in order to rule over them and to hurt them. I thought of power and anger as being corrupt, evil, and dirty. And the terms which I thought that I described power and anger with, I thought were pretty unchristian. And yet, all the presenters were people of faith. So this only added to my confusion. At the time during these discussions, the first thing that came to my mind as they discussed power and anger was Congress. I see Congress as a group who is always angry with each other or with some other group and not listening to people and using their power in negative ways. I'm not sure that I wanted to be like somebody in Congress, you know, if that's your definition. So I also wasn't sure that I wanted to help other people become like that. So I hope you can see and understand my conflict here. How was it that we could listen to each other if we're learning to teach people how to find their power in anger? How could that mean helping each other? I really struggled with this. The trainers told us their definition of power and said it was based on the dictionary's definition. But it was so different from what I believed the definition to be that I didn't believe them. They defined power as the ability or capacity to act, and that it requires two or more people with a plan. It's a social concept. They talked about power, which lacks transparency and accountability, as being corrupt. So since I am often the skeptic, that night in my room at CDSP, I looked up the term power because I knew they had to be wrong. Their definition didn't include any of the evil and hurt that was in my definition. And guess what? They were right. I couldn't believe it. I hate that when that happens. Dictionary.com lists their first definition of power as the ability to do or act, or the capability of doing or accomplishing something. Merriam-Webster was similar. I was stunned. I sat there and made a chart of the terms of their definitions and my definition and the dictionary's definition and found I was really wrong on so many fronts. I even called my cousin, thinking she would agree with me. She's a social worker, so she should know about these terms. And she had the nerve to tell me I was wrong, and they were right. Thanks a lot, cuz. But I learned was that I had to rethink all of this. And I really hate it when that happens. I'm sure you hate it too. So then last Saturday, I attended the afternoon session of Bishop Mary's interim retreat here at St. Stephen's. And she said that the vestry and search committees had touched on the terms power and authority. No definitions. It was up to us to figure out those definitions. And this is something that both Ernie and Jeannie mentioned in the Friday Journal. So I immediately thought of my experiences with community organizing. And what did I do back then but run to the dictionary? So here I was running to the dictionary again. And I used that as a beginning point for my own thinking about power and authority. And obviously my thinking isn't going to always be yours. It probably isn't. So I already told you one definition of power as the ability to do or act, or the capacity to accomplish something. The first definition for authority that I found said, it's the power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. And it's the freedom granted by one in authority. So at first blush, I was starting to think that for me, power sounded more helpful or positive than frame than authority. Because I was interpreting authority as someone else's was telling you how to think, what your opinions were, and what your behavior should be. Ernie had a totally different take on it. So here we go. So then we have today's gospel lesson of the workers in the vineyard. And as it happens with parables, you can look at them from many different angles. Jesus' parables are meant to prod us to think critically about the world that we help to make and to see more clearly how God works in the world. So wouldn't you know, I see power and authority in this parable. How fortuitous. The landowner goes out several times in one day to gather up day laborers, probably not so different from our current day workers. The day laborers of that time made the ancient economy run. No day laborers, no grapes, no harvest, no wine, no food, etc. But they were expendable and cheap labor. The slaves at that time actually had it better in terms of having their physical needs met. They were always getting fed and clothed because that was to the slave owner's benefit to keep his property healthy and working. In that time, it's thought that the usual and customary pay for the day was one denarius. One denarius meant that the workers could barely eke out a living. And if they missed a day, they were behind and probably wouldn't catch up. And so, you know, there was a lot of hunger and on and on and on. The truth is that it hasn't changed a whole lot in 2,000 years. But the parable tells us that the landowner paid everyone the same wage, no matter how many hours they worked. Some would look at this as being unfair to the first hired, and some would look at this as being very generous. After all, it was his money to decide what to do with. But let's look deeper at the story. Let's look at the how. At how the landowner handed out the day's wages. Everywhere that I have worked, we've been told that we were not to compare our wages with anybody else in the company. And I'm sure most of you have had that same experience. But what does this landowner do but pay everybody in front of everybody so everybody knows what everybody got? Starting with the ones who were there for the least amount of time. So they're a happy camper. The ones who came later are not. They were feeling very put out by what they considered this injustice. So what was the landowner's purpose in giving out the daily wages in this manner in front of everyone? And what do you imagine happened to the group of workers as a result? I imagine that they probably knew each other since they're from the same village and they were in the marketplace every day trying to get a job every day. So they were probably friends, maybe even family. It seemed that the landowner was using his authority to provoke or incite a reaction from the workers. And that reaction was understandably envy. And envy causes division between people, which isn't exactly what God is looking for from us. It's our human nature to compare ourselves with others as part of figuring out how we shape our own identities. We all do it every day, day in and out, however right or wrong that might be. It's just our nature. We especially compare ourselves to others and what others have or what we don't have in comparison. So what the landowner did was to reinforce the gulf which was between himself and all that he had and the workers and all that they didn't have. He may have paid them the going rate, which turned out to be generous for some, but how he paid them created envy and division among the workers. How he paid them took away their dignity and the little bit of power that each of them had, and their position, you know, that was a little bit. And you take away the little bit, there's nothing. So everything in their physical day-to-day life remained the same the next day when they got up to go to the marketplace and try and get a job, but their dignity had been diminished. And when someone's dignity and their power is trampled on and taken away, their hope is diminished, if not destroyed. Former rector of mine used to say that without hope, the human heart would break. Hope is so important, and God's hope is so important. God's hope allows us to find our dignity and our power. It allows us to find our capacity to accomplish good things. Our life as Jesus people and the Episcopal tradition is to share with others the hope that we have found in Christ. And in this parable, we have learned that we have a choice in how we share our abundance and our hope with others. And we saw that the how makes a difference. For example, when all of you helped with Village House at ECA and St. Julie's, you shared yourselves in a way which allowed these women to keep their dignity and power, and maybe you even helped them increase it a little bit. And that was the purpose, one of the purposes of Village House. These women have lost all of their dignity and power, so we're trying to build it back up. That's sharing God's love and hope. So good on St. Stephen's. In all that we do, the how matters. And lastly, in a way, this parable has given us a starting point for our future discussions about what authority and power means to each of us and to St. Stephen's as a whole, and how they are used in all that we do. I look forward to these discussions to see who out there is challenged like I was. Maybe none of you are, but I'm going to look forward to seeing what happens. And as I said before, I thought, how fortuitous to have this reading right now. So once again, God has generously blessed us. Amen.